the University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. The man, the myth, the legend, Dave Chow is here with us today.
Oh, pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. You only get to pick one. Man, myth, legend. Go.
I'll take legend.
You got it. You're like the Paul Bunyan statue.
So is Sasquatch and Nessie. So I mean,
I was hoping for like more of a realistic, like a tall tale style legend.
You know? Oh, you mean what, like Pecos Bill or
Paul Bunyan,
Babe the Blue Ox? Okay, all right, I could deal with that.
Babe the Blue Ox. Oh man,
could be worse.
Yeah, exactly. Could always be worse. Let's see, what tall tale would Mara Livesey like to be associated with? Is there any like tall tale that you've heard or legend that you want to be a part of?
It's a good question.
Come on, we could start rumors right about now. We could build your street cred. How you killed like, three people in an alleyway in New York City or something like that.
Nice. Everything that I'm thinking of is like a female villain. Which isn't really my style, but it's all I can think of.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing yeah. wrong with that.
A little Maleficent, maybe?
Oh, okay. There we go. Yeah.
Ooh, you would look good with horns, wouldn't you?
Hopefully unclipped wings. That would be nice.
Hopefully.
Jim Tubbs is also here with us today.
Hello. I'll go myth.
You'll go myth?
Yeah.
And no one will ever know.
Sometimes I'm feeling like Sisyphus, you know.
Exactly.
Minus the loincloth and the fancy hair, yeah. Right?
Wow, what do you mean minus? Right. That's the only reason Jim chose that.
Oh my gosh.
It was a line in the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel that not Bruno Kirby, but the guy who's playing Lenny Bruce delivers. That's what he says about Sisyphus.
Ah, okay.
He says, I'm like Sisyphus, minus the loincloth and the fancy hair.
I was just thinking the rock, you know.
Ah, yes. Okay.
Rock that rolls back down. A rock that moves, gathers no moss, sort of like Heather Hill.
There's a compliment in there somewhere.
Just find it.
You're always on the move, Heather. You're always on the move.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. How's film class?
Good. Professor Livesey came in a couple of weeks ago. Ooh. It was awesome.
Yay!
It was fun. Yeah, we did get out. Yeah.
That's cool.
And then Professor Rombies came in last Monday.
Let me guess, film noir?
No, actually, not film noir. Documentary, because I was working on documentaries that week. Okay. So we talked about documentaries and... it worked out well. So
nice.
It's good. It's okay. It's okay considering, you know,
yep,
everything. So
the circumstances under which it came to you. Yes.
Yes. The circumstances under which it came to me. Yeah. It's, yes. It's all right.
It's good. I mean, let's be serious that we get these texts from our ex chair in my department. That whistling sound you just heard is the end of week 10. So there's only a few weeks to go here. Let's be serious. Yep.
Yep.
Dan Maggio is here, and in between shows, he's had a complete recovery.
Yes. So, Heather, when you have guest lecturers come in...
I'm calling them visiting scholars.
Visiting scholars. Are the students asked to watch these movies before?
No.
That class?
No. I have a regular curriculum of the movies that are part of the class, which they're required to watch. And then
I
put out a call and said, you know, if you've got a favorite movie you want to come in and talk about, just come ahead. It so happened that Mara was interested in talking about Get Out and they had already seen it. That was part of the curriculum.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
Right.
That's awesome.
So when Dave and Matt come in, I don't know, Matt, are you going to talk about Back to the Future?
Back to the Future was the plan, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and Dave, I mean, that's the same week that we start the Lion King movies that week, too. So I don't know if you wanted to do something with that, Dave.
I can bring storyboards to both, and I can draw for them if need be.
That's awesome.
I'll have to see. You know, the class is 2.5 hours long, so we may be able to squeeze that in.
We will have them in rain barrels in no time, so.
That's right.
We We also take watches, gold teeth. We can barter.
But it's been good to have people come in. It's been fun, you know. So, yep. And then Beth's coming in. And then Steven's coming in, too.
That's so great. You great.
Know. What's your movie, Steven?
Lion King.
Yeah. Lion King. Yeah. Well, we can't forget to mention Beth Oljar is here because she is the mistress of the Halloween to Christmas transition.
Ah, okay. I'll buy that. That sounds good.
I mean, Thanksgiving is the American gateway to the end of your holidays, right?
I guess.
What occurs to us in the department this week, Beth, I think you've stopped by enough time to know that most years in the main office, the chem department, we have a Halloween tree, a Thanksgiving tree, and a Christmas tree to follow.
Jane's already put up the Christmas tree. She was doing that when I came in on Monday.
Yeah, so that's actually the Thanksgiving tree. It has a turkey on top of it.
Oh, okay.
But if you follow with the dates that we're doing all this sort of business and are very sacred about day one and day N plus one, Jane will have the Halloween tree up for 31 days, fairly obvious reasons. The Thanksgiving tree is really only up for 20 odd days. And the Christmas tree, sadly, is only up for a couple weeks because we're always breaking for Christmas a little bit early. So it's kind of sad in that regard. Aww. But we pushed the envelope this year, Beth, in a way that I think you'll appreciate. We said that it always looked odd. We have this all black tree for Halloween, that it didn't have a skirt. And so Jane discovered the wonderful world of Amazon non-Christmas themed tree skirts. And now we have a Halloween skirt and a Thanksgiving skirt. So.
Wow, that is so cool.
Pretty big deal. Last but not least, we already heard he's going to be talking about the Lion King. It's Stephen Manning.
Meanwhile, over at Briggs, there is no celebration of any kind.
That's horrible.
That's Leslie really had sad. Some candy in the main office, but yeah, there will be Christmas decorations, I guess.
There'll be Christmas decorations.
You would think that the cheer would spread from one building to another, but it doesn't seem to have that
quality. Well, that requires a certain mentality among people.
Right. Hey, folks, while you're contemplating potato sacks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on the Facebook or Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to invade your privacy by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. You know that set of questions from Frank Burrows and family is still actually cooking. They came up with so many questions, and we were having a ton of fun. A little bit of Michigan history, a little bit of crazy history. What Major League Baseball team has a mascot that is a seal?
A seal? Baseball?
Yep. Major his seal? Name. His name is Lou.
It's not the Mariners, is it? A seal. Marlins?
Padres.
Nope.
What? It's not the Dodgers.
It's a Major League Baseball team.
Absolutely.
The Giants?
It's the Giants. Yes, the San Francisco Giants. Really? Because the Seal Island is just over the right field, which goes right out into the bay.
So now what's the significance of Lou?
That's a good question. I want to say that maybe the person who brought the Giants out west.
Don't tell me it's Lucille.
Well, name is Lucille. Absolutely. 100%.
Oh, geez. Talk about bad puns.
How about this one? If you know this trivia, you know it. I'm not quite sure I'm going to be able to help you too much if you don't. What rock band started with the name, fairly famous rock band, mostly in the 80s, started with the name Rat Salad?
Rat? Was it the band Rat?
It wasn't Rat. And that would have been my guess, but it was in the hairband realm.
Motley Crue?
E-52s.
Rat Salad.
Poison.
They ended up going with the surname of a prominent member.
What?
Van Halen?
Van Halen. It was Van Halen. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, the Rat Salad is making a little more sense.
I'm surprised none of you mentioned Ozzy, quite frankly. He was the supposedly rat guy, right?
Yeah, well, but yeah, eating them is not the same as being them.
No, it's a bat.
It was a bird. Yeah, oh, it was a bird.
Okay. Okay. Oh, it was a bat. Maybe it was all those things. I don't know.
It was a white bird. No, he really did it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, professors. One started in 1960. The other started in 1963. So which is which? Justice League or the Avengers?
Oh, Justice League. Yeah, there was the earlier one.
Yeah.
Justice League was 1960. Yeah, yep. That is true. Mm-hmm. And thus continued with some of these YouTubers that I follow. Like, you have to understand something about DC and Marvel. They literally have almost character by character the same set of ideas and tropes and powers, all the way up to having a purple space emperor. I laughed very hard. Oh, man. Just so you know, that's where DC is going. All hail Darkseid.
Oh, geez.
What restaurant chain, speaking of those 60s, was opened in 1962 by its founder, Glenn Bell?
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell, yeah. That's where it got its name. Mm-hmm.
Kendra would have gotten that one. She's, you know, she's our Taco Bell ringer, isn't she?
She is. She keeps him in business, from what I hear. Yeah, that's true.
Chalupas are so yummy.
Oh, they are so yummy.
I miss the Mexican pizza, though.
That's also true. Professors, who was the first? I mean, listen to this. This is someone who lives in Valencia, California. And this is the trivia question we get. Who was the first act to appear at Pine Knob 25th of June, 1972? Tickets were seated $7. $5 or $2.50 for the lawn.
Wow. What a deal.
Alice Cooper, local boy.
So I will try. That's a really good guess, by the way. Alice Cooper makes perfect sense. But it was a, for lack of a better description, 1972, a teen heartthrob.
David Cassidy.
It was David Cassidy.
Hey,
the second after I said it.
I saw him in concert about that time.
Wow.
Maybe a year or so later. Yeah. I had a real thing for him.
I just can't imagine crowd surfing to David Cassidy.
Think I love you.
I know. Heather's going down the I think I love you. That's wild.
I like the Partridge Family songs.
Let's see if those among us who know their James Bond can answer this handful of questions. Two actors have played James Bond in 7 films. Who are they?
Roger Moore.
Sean Connery.
One actor has played James Bond 5 times now.
Daniel Connery. Craig.
Oh,
that's Daniel Craig.
Oh, okay. He's
got fifth and done. So.
Pierce Brosnan, only 4. How many times did Timothy Dalton play James Bond?
Too many.
2?
3?
Actually only twice. Only 2 movies. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we know George Lazenby was only 1.
One.
I saw on the internet Henry Cavill is signed up to be the next. He could be really good. Really? I still think Idris Elba would have been awesome, but...
Come on, another white guy?
Well, that's why Idris Elba would have been awesome, or one of the great Indian or... Muslim actors that they have in Britain. So yeah, there were options there, but Henry Cavill's not, I don't think he's a bad choice necessarily.
He's eye candy at that point, you know.
As long as it doesn't prevent him from taping The Witcher, I'm perfectly fine.
Right. You know, we have a female Doctor Who now. Isn't it time we have a female James Bond too?
And she is fantastic.
Yeah.
But she's leaving.
Oh, that's too bad.
Unfortunately.
So yeah. Who's taking over there?
I don't know that I saw, but I she's really starting to grow on me. I really enjoy her character and her kind of silliness. Huh?
Who was the longest playing Doctor Who? Which actor or actress?
Tom Baker, I think 7 seasons.
That sounds about right.
I don't think any of the newer ones went that long.
Hey, which goalie brother duo were the first to play against each other in the history of the NHL?
Ooh.
All right, Dave.
Hold on. I'm trying to figure out who. Esposito. No. Hold on. The Dryden brothers? Ken and Dave Dryden?
That's right. The Drydens. You got it. Yep.
A font of knowledge.
Immediately, Dave starts talking. Everybody just sort of backs up a little bit. Hey, professors, it's not Detroit Mercy. Which Michigan university has been known to issue faux permits for unicorn hunters?
Ooh.
Good grief.
Where would there be unicorns in Michigan?
That's Michigan actually a good Tech? Way to solve this.
Yeah, Michigan Tech would be a good one.
Yeah, like somewhere in the north.
Yeah, they're in the middle of nowhere, kind of bored off the coconut. I'd issue a permit.
How about just a little further south than Michigan Tech?
Western Michigan?
Grand Valley State?
What's over Central? Northern Michigan University?
Nope, they're north of Michigan Tech.
Central Michigan.
No, the Northern Michigan in Traverse City, sorry. I got the name wrong.
Okay.
Wait. Adrian, what's the other? Alma?
I'm really surprised at all of you.
Really? Did you say just south of Michigan Tech?
As the crow flies. You know, what we're looking for here is Lake Superior State University.
Oh, Lake Superior State. Well, that's more east. But
oh.
We appreciate the clue.
You shouldn't be hunting unicorns anyway. That's what Voldemort does.
He does.
You shouldn't be hunting them anyway. I totally agree.
But they're such good eating, though. Oh.
Well, that's why they're faux permits.
Right.
Because you really shouldn't be doing it.
Very, very famous. Hopped around to a lot of different shows. A host of American game shows, Wink Martindale. What is his actual name?
You mean it isn't Wink?
Winking. Wink more.
Wink more.
William Robert
Mealworm
shares a first name with a very, very famous Prime Minister of England.
Winston.
Winston Martindale.
Winston. And he's from Jackson, Tennessee.
That's right. That's exactly really? Right.
Huh. I'm trying to imagine how Churchill would have felt if anyone had bestowed the nickname Wink on him.
I'm going to go on record and say that wouldn't have gone very well.
No, I don't think so.
Hey, professors, this is a fairly well-known piece of trivia, top to bottom, that Gerry Ford was the first Eagle Scout who ever became president of the United States. Who was the first Boy Scout of any kind who became president of the United States?
Teddy Roosevelt?
No, that makes sense, but that's not it.
Gerald Ford again? Mm-mm. Was he the one and only? Oh.
John Kennedy.
It was Jack Kennedy. Yeah, it was John Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think that sort of stuff is funny because having dabbled in Cub Scouts in my grade school years, I mean, you just kind of like get involved and then at some point you either commit for life or you are not involved anymore. Last one. What was the name of the gang of females in the movie Grease?
Pink Ladies.
The Pink Ladies. Yes, that is right. Would you call them a gang? Would you call them a gang?
A gaggle, maybe?
Sure.
Not a gang. What was it? What, a gaggle?
No,
was it
like a murder of crows kind of thing? Gang has its own, connotation. So it's just like,
yeah, they were a gang, I think.
They kind of were a gang.
Yeah.
Oh, like, oh, right. no, because precisely
the problem with Sandy was that she was too clean to be pink. She could never be a pink lady.
That's right.
She didn't smoke. She didn't drink.
Right.
They were such great background singers in such hits as Beauty School Dropout.
Frankie Valli.
Dee Dee Cone.
In the film.
We've reached the end of these questions, and we'll transition as well we should into the next level of the list of imponderables from the Burroughs family. And for this week, what we have is, what is your favorite pair of shoes?
Pair of shoes?
Like,
I'm wearing them.
Ever, or?
I think we can interpret this any way that we wish.
I've had a lot of shoes over the years.
How attached are you to a pair of shoes? I can tell you this much. We were doing Ask the Professor once we sort of got our butts in gear after the beginning of the pandemic. And I remember Jim and I were having a conversation before one of the shows. And Jim, you had remarked something about not having worn shoes in a long time. And then it sort of became a crusade of mine. I had just purchased a brand new pair of shoes before the pandemic started. And I had worn them every day teaching throughout the end of that semester and all summer and then all fall, not for every single occasion, but mostly wearing those shoes. And I gave them a proper send-off by tossing them into the bonfire in late 2020 last year, saying, thank you, shoes, for getting me through the pandemic.
That, you know, that's the problem with jogging shoes, because they really, if you wear them a lot, they don't last that long. I mean, the rubber is
hard.
And, you have to throw them away, even though they were the most comfortable things you've had.
See, now I've got a pair of Sentimental ones, which I just recently bought. I know it sounds strange, but Sentimental and shoes and recent don't necessarily go together. But to make a long story short, one of my best friends from high school, we used to go to Northland Mall. And, you know, I remember we walked by the Sibleys. Does anybody remember Sibleys?
Yep. Sibleys.
And we saw these Johnson & Murphy oxblood wingtips.
Wow.
You know, we're like 16 years old. We can't wear those. We look like pimps. And then my friend said, you know, those would be our professorial shoes or our high executive shoes. And we'd always swore up and down that we'd buy a pair. So a year and a half ago, my friend passed. And on the anniversary of his death, I bought a pair of, now, mind you, Johnson Murphy doesn't make oxblood wingtips anymore, but Solaver does. And Solaver, they were the people who made Doc Martens back in the day and still do. So I'm wearing them even as we speak in memory of a good friend. That's all. So
it's a good shoe story.
Now, I had a pair of oxblood wingtips that were actually lightweight. They were some sort of, you know, man-made material, but they looked like leather shoes, but they were very lightweight. They were quite comfortable because they had like the foam, you know, insole.
Yep.
You were good.
It took forever to break in, but yeah.
I think all of my mocks that I've gotten, my pairs of mocks I've gotten over the years from Land's End are pretty good. I'm very fond of them.
That's great.
And oh, the many pairs of boots I've had over the years. So I really like boots.
Boots are good.
Yeah.
Are they all made for walking?
Yep.
Indeed. Yes. Nancy Sinatra. I actually co-wrote that song with Nancy Sinatra. A little known fact.
Oh, wow.
My favorite boots are made for walking.
That's right.
Come on. We can't be the only ones. Come on. We can't be the only other shoe stories, right?
I'll take it in a different direction. This isn't a pair of shoes that you might think is a pair of shoes, and they certainly aren't particularly comfortable.
Toe shoes.
But point shoes.
There we go.
Not because they're comfortable, because, you know, there's just nothing better than dancing in a pair of point shoes. There's nothing like it.
I'll buy that.
That's a good shoe story. Awesome.
I agree with Dave that you can be sentimental about shoes. I inherited a pair of shoes from my father. When he died, his foot was slightly bigger than mine. So to wear these, really a beautiful pair of shoes. And I had to get one of those Dr. Scholl's insert, foam insert things.
Sure.
So it would not slip on. And I wear them not often, but periodically, and they have sentimental value.
That's cool.
Yep.
Sure.
I guess I would pick up on what Jim said about running shoes. I mean, I only started running a few years ago, and, you know, every time I get a new pair of running shoes, it makes me feel nice. I mean, I like to rotate them. You know, I think now I have maybe four pair that I rotate. Some individuals have 17 or 18 pairs that they rotate, which is quite amazing to me.
When did you get your most recent pair, Heather?
I think that would be Christmas. Last Christmas.
So now, Heather, are you brand loyal?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You have to be. Yeah. Okay. We get our shoes at Run Detroit usually.
No, but Nike, Asics.
Asics, or I was fitted for either Brooks or Saucony's.
Okay.
Yep.
But I got a new pair of Brooks recently as an early Christmas gift from Stephen.
Mm-hmm. Nice. He's so thoughtful.
Wonderful idea.
So I don't know. I like getting a new pair of running shoes to add to my rotation so that I can catch up with some people who have a lot more than I do. But I never will catch up because, you know, I can't. At any rate.
No, Heather, it's not about catching up. It's about slowing them down now. That's all. That's right. Trip them.
Well, Dan, I don't think we've heard from you.
If you're a runner, you know, the shoes are as important as like tires on a car. They're the only thing that touches the ground.
That's so, right. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
You really have to have a good pair of running shoes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Or you cannot run.
I was going to make the joke. I really hope the shoes are the only things that touch the ground.
I have one pair of sneakers, walking shoes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we haven't heard from Dan.
We haven't heard from Dan.
I don't have much to say. Dan. I like Merrill's shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So I probably have the most of them, and I don't own a pair of running shoes.
Do you have any special curling shoes?
I do. Ooh. Oh, that's a good – I could share a story like Amara. I do have a pair of – I have many pairs of curling shoes, which unfortunately do not have another place that they could be worn outside of the curling.
Oh, you can wear them in the parking lot. You can wear them anywhere. It just won't be as functional. That's all.
And how many pairs do you have?
Four. Most of them are old, and I don't know what else to do with them. Like I always look for new curlers to donate them to, but I can't find that.
Yep. I'll take it in a different direction. This isn't a pair of shoes that you might think is a pair of shoes, and they certainly aren't particularly comfortable.
Toe shoes.
There we go. Oh.
Not because they're comfortable, because, you know, there's just nothing better than dancing in a pair of point shoes. There's nothing like it.
Oh, professors, I believe we have mined this one on the basics of a favorite pair of shoes just about as far as it can go. And the time has come to say goodbye. Stephen.
Goodbye.
Beth.
Goodbye.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Heather.
Bye.
Jim.
Adios.
Mara.
Bye.
And Dave.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.